Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Rice from Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. What a week it has been. But we still have a docket. First, a Gannon Stauch update, and it's not good. Second, on our celebrity update, Tekashi 69, snitches end up in ditches. Third, what not to do while you're in quarantine. And fourth, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. Tomorrow, March 21st at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, we are going to go live, but we are going to do something different. We are going to go live on Facebook. Have your questions. I'll have the answers, at least the best that I can. I'll see you there. Hit the link below. Make sure you're signed up and see you tomorrow, 10 a.m., March 21st, Mountain Time for live Crime Talk with Scott Reich. If you have not already done so, we would ask you to please subscribe, hit that little bell so you'll receive notifications of when we put up new content. And as always, leave us a comment below. We care what you have to say. And frankly, some of our best ideas come from your comments. First on the docket, Gannon Stauch. For those of you who do not recall, Gannon Stauch went missing on January 27th. From his home in Colorado Springs. He was last seen with his stepmother, Letitia Stauch. Now, she stated that he went off to be with a friend. That was the last that she had seen of him. Letitia Stauch was arrested upon her return to her home state of South Carolina. And on her return trip, being extradited via the El Paso County Sheriff's Department, she attempted to slip out of her handcuffs, or did slip out of her handcuffs, would probably be more accurate to say, and assaulted a deputy sheriff. Certainly not a good move on her part. Certainly shows a little consciousness of guilt on her part as well. If you were innocent, you would simply say, fine, let's get back to court as quickly as possible and make this happen. Letitia Stauch appeared in court late last week, and formal charges were filed. When Letitia Stauch was charged of her charges late last week, there was a charge of first-degree murder and some tampering. Now, as of today, and the news that has come forth today, and the news, unfortunately, is that the El Paso County Sheriff's Department is reporting that they have found the remains of Gannon Stauch. Now, it's purported that the remains were found in Florida, specifically in Santa Rosa County down there. And apparently, the sheriff received a call from the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office in Pace, Florida, regarding a deceased boy. An autopsy was performed, and the remains were tentatively identified as Gannon Stauch. And following the discovery in Florida, the El Paso County Sheriff's Office has filed additional charges against Letitia Stauch. First, there's the first-degree murder, victim under 12, by a person in position of trust. That is a Class 1 felony that carries life without the possibility of parole. There's a charge of murder in the first degree after deliberation, which is also a Class 1 felony here in the state of Colorado, which carries life without parole. There's a charge of child abuse resulting in death, which is a Class 2 felony, which carries 16 to 48 years in prison, plus a 5-year mandatory period of parole upon her release. And that would be a period of supervision in addition to and subsequent to any Department of Correction sentence if she were ever to be released. Now, there are also 8 counts of crimes of violence that allege a use of a firearm, a blunt instrument, a knife, or other sharp object for causing the death of Gannon Stauch. Now, the charges are not specific as to what the deadly weapon was used, but they're clearly alleging that a deadly weapon was used. So we need to wait for the affidavit to be released before we try to speculate on that. A deadly weapon in Colorado can include anything. I've seen it as a pillow, a shoe, a foot, your hands. It can be anything, not just what is outlined specifically in the statute. Now, additionally, there is a tampering with a deceased body count, which is a Class 3 felony, which carries 4 to 12 years in the Colorado Department of Corrections, as well as tampering with physical evidence, which is a Class 6 felony, which carries 12 to 18 months in the Colorado Department of Corrections. Now, Ms. Stauch is obviously given the presumption of innocence, and what remains to be seen, and we need to wait to reserve judgment until we get more information, is to how the police in Florida came across this body. Was this a body of a child that was discovered by, you know, somebody walking by, or a hunter, or somebody out running, or was somebody leading the police to the body that's associated with this case in some way, perhaps a cooperating witness? Or was there a situation where perhaps Ms. Stauch led the police to the location in attempt to gain some, perhaps some mitigation to the police? Now, I've seen this handled in a particular case that I was involved with. I had a mother that was charged with a child abuse resulting in death. They could not find the body of the child, and the boyfriend was ultimately charged. And the district attorney was threatening the death penalty if they found the body and that the boyfriend did not cooperate. Ultimately, in that particular case, to take death off the table, the boyfriend led them to the location of the body in the woods to do that. So Colorado has no death penalty anymore. So my belief is that Letitia Stauch would have fallen under that time period before the Colorado legislature and the governor signed the repeal of the death penalty. So that could have been something that was on the table. Now, I'm not saying that that's what took place. I'm just telling you, I've seen that in experience in cases that I have handled. And although whether you agree or disagree with the death penalty, whether it was used, you know, there's lots of statistics to show that it wasn't used fairly. It was a huge bargaining tool for the district attorneys, and it's the kind of thing that completely reduced the power of the district attorney to bargain with people in serious cases, particularly if there's someone like, locate the body and we'll take, help us locate the body and we'll take the death penalty off the table. This is going to be interesting. We know that there have been at least 100 search warrants that have been drafted, reviewed by a judge, and signed. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they pieced this case together, the detectives. It's probably really good police work. And it could be, you know, videos from stores, searches of houses, residents, phone records. It's going to be huge. Now, the El Paso County Sheriff's Department is asking people if they have any recollection or video or film or have any personal knowledge of Ms. Letitia Stauch being in Pace, Florida anytime after Gannon Stauch's disappearance and her arrest in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Now, from a defense perspective, what do we know? Could this help the defense attorneys for Ms. Stauch? Absolutely. Depending on the ability of the police to be able to explain how that body got there and how do they place Ms. Letitia Stauch putting it there, or was there somebody else? It truly remains. Now, remember, Letitia Stauch said, and the police originally treated this case as a runaway, and whether it was a runaway or an abduction, I'm sure, unless the evidence is completely contrary to that, the defense is going to be exploring and trying to show that that was in fact the case. Now, Ms. Stauch is not due back in court until April 14th, which is obviously a short time away. However, like most court cases here in Colorado, everything is being continued into June unless there are speedy trial issues. And that does not a case yet because speedy trial has not started in Miss Letitia Stout's case. That doesn't start until she gets to arraignment. They were set for a status on April 14th to determine how much time they're going to need to review the discovery and be prepared to proceed to a preliminary hearing. With the courts basically being shut down, it's going to be very unlikely that this case is in any kind of a fast track, and I would not expect anything of any substance probably until June of this year. We will continue to follow the case and monitor the pleadings in this case as well and bring it to you as things develop. Sad case, but if it is in fact Gannon Stout's body based upon the preliminary identification, at least the family has peace of mind and they can in fact provide a proper burial for their son. Next on the docket, our celebrity update. Yes, Tekashi 6ix9ine. Now, a lot of the people in our audience may not recall Tekashi 6ix9ine. A lot of people may not listen to Tekashi 6ix9ine's music. I can assure you, let's see a show of hands, who has never heard of Tekashi 6ix9ine? I had never heard of Tekashi 6ix9ine until he made it to the news. And now, why did Tekashi 6ix9ine make it to the news? Well, he is a gang member in New York. But apparently, he has some talent, according to some people, as a rapper. And he's done quite well for himself. He's done quite well for himself financially based upon his ability to be a rapper. But what also got Tekashi 6ix9ine in trouble was he had had a couple of pending little gun charges. And then, oh, by the way, he just happened to get this, you know, federal racketeering case as well. And like we've mentioned before, the threat of imminent incarceration tends to break the bonds of loyalty. Well, that's what happened to Mr. Tekashi 6ix9ine. Mr. Tekashi 6ix9ine said, whoa, I am far too important to go to prison for a lengthy period of time, unlike those other little street thugs that I may have been associated with and calling my friends. Mr. Tekashi 6ix9ine testifies, going to get a reduced sentence. But he does something that's not exactly looked upon positively in the gang world. He testified against his fellow gang members. Not a good thing to do, particularly if you're going to prison, okay? Just not a good thing. Because, well, as they say, snitches end up in ditches. That means that when you get to prison, people are going to want to see your paperwork. They're going to want to see your plea agreement. They're going to want to see your minimus to see if you received what your sentence was and if it's kind of in accordance with what the sentencing range was. Now, obviously, this guy is a celebrity, so people are going to know what he got. And they have jails where they can send people off if they're kind of in a witness protection program, so to speak. But people have a way of being able to reach out and touch someone in prison. You wouldn't believe it, but the prison network is somewhat amazing. I've handled several prison cases over the years involving gang affiliations, and they run the prisons. They can communicate people, whether they disrespect somebody or, you know, they just get maybe roughed up a little bit or they get killed. It is a system in and of itself, and is brutal. So, Mr. Tekashi 6ix9ine, he's going to have some problems in prison. Now, what Tekashi 6ix9ine also has is more trouble financially. So, he had signed a promotional deal with Fashion Nova, and they had paid him some $2.25 million, but he was unable to actually perform in promoting Fashion Nova. Because, well, he got locked up. And where his real troubles have begun are the fact that while he was testifying in his case, he testified to, in open court, under oath, in his racketeering trial. Mr. Tekashi 6ix9ine admitted under oath in his racketeering trial that he had directed, like told Aaron Bat Young and Jamal Melmurda, M-U-R-D-A, common spelling, Jones, to shoot a gentleman by the name of Shane Hardy. Well, now Shane Hardy, who was shot in the back of the head and neck and miraculously survived, says, "I knew you did it all along, and guess what? Now I'm going to sue you." So Shane Hardy is suing Tekashi 6ix9ine for an undisclosed amount of money, but you know it's going to be good. Probably at least $2.25 million, because we know Mr. Tekashi 6ix9ine has that somewhere in a bank. Unless, of course, his attorney's fees ate it up, and his manager fees, and his posse fees, and everybody else that hangs out with him fees. So, not looking good there. Now, the individuals that were claimed, Mr. Bat and Mr. Murder, M-U-R-D-A, Murda, they were also convicted in Tekashi 6ix9ine's racketeering case. Mr. Young, that's Bat, was sentenced to 20 years in prison after pleading guilty to conspiracy. And Mr. Jones, that's Melmurda, was sentenced to 11 years in prison after pleading guilty to racketeering and narcotics charges. So I bet you Tekashi 6ix9ine hopes that he does not run into Mr. Young or Mr. Jones in prison. And I doubt they have any money to pay Mr. Hardy, who's been shot. So I think Mr. Tekashi 6ix9ine is probably going to wind up holding the bag. And so snitches end up broke, apparently, as well. We'll watch that one as well. And Mr. Tekashi 6ix9ine, you be careful out there. It's a dangerous world in there in prison, especially for snitches. Next on the docket, what not to do while you're in quarantine. As everybody knows, there's a lot of people staying at home in light of the corona virus that is going around. Cities have been shut down in entirety. California has been shut down. 40 million people. Illinois just shut everything down. Well, let's not do this. A woman in South Carolina apparently had a little cabin fever. And so she was going to have a threesome, and things went terribly wrong. Things apparently went terribly wrong for Cameo Louise Luchka. She's a 26-year-old woman and apparently was on a little bit of a meth and heroin high and attempted to bite the genitals of a male with whom she was trying her little tryst with. The police were summoned about 9:30 p.m. to Hanahan City, which is just north of Charleston, South Carolina. The police had received a 911 call reporting that a female had attempted to bite off his penis. When the police arrived, they spotted a naked white female on her hands and knees crawling into a hallway. The police noticed that she was covered in blood. She ignored their commands to stop, and she ultimately had to be tased. Ms. Lucha also told the police that she was threatening to bite off the victim's penis as well. And Miss Lucha also noted and told the police that she had used heroin and methamphetamine that evening, which would probably explain why, when she was being carried off on a gurney, she barked, growled, and hissed at the police. The victim, a Stephen Norton, told the police that he and another man were having sex with Miss Lucha when she started passing out from drug use. He then asked Lucha to leave her apartment, but she refused. Norton said the Lucha began throwing items at him and threatening to bite his penis off. Miss Lucha apparently struck Mr. Norton in the right eye with a glass object, causing a cut. Mr. Norton did also admit that he struck Miss Lucha several times with his fists. Mr. Norton did not want any charges pressed against Miss Lucha. However, they had classified the incident as an aggravated assault, and the charges were pending. So I think the rule of thumb here is, while you're quarantined, let's keep off the meth and heroin combination. What you do with how many other people is completely up to you. Now for our Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Day, and yes, our Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Week winner as well. As you know, we've reported a lot of corona virus stupidity this week, and the madness continues in Wisconsin. Apparently, the Marshfield Police Department responded to a store where a manager or a gentleman in the store was cleaning, disinfecting the freezer cases, whereupon a woman, after the freezer had been cleaned, proceeded to look at the manager and then lick the door handle on the freezer. The manager apparently then immediately returned to sanitize the door handle and called 911. The woman has been identified as Nona Lindhorst. Now, Ms. Lindhorst received a break because she was basically admonished by the police not to do stupid things given what's taken place in the world today. But no, no, no. Ms. Lindhorst was not going to have any of that. So because she refused to leave as the police directed her to do, she then received a trespassing ticket for not leaving the store when the manager and the police told her to go. And for that, Ms. Lindhorst, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. The question then becomes, are you dumb enough to be catapulted to the victory spot of the dumb criminal contestant of the week? Well, let's recap and see who her competition is this week. As you may recall, we had our gentleman in Gallup, New Mexico, who felt guilty about being in a drunken burglary state and stealing his friend's TVs. We had our Florida couple who was having sex outside of the hospital and charged with indecent exposure. Then we had the individual in Vermont who wanted to tell everyone that he had the coronavirus, which caused the delay, the police be called, and the evacuation of the bus. Those are the contestants. Who shall be the winner? We are going with Maria Tucker and Albert Singletary. These were the two hospital workers that went outside to have sex, and they were found to be exposing their sexual organs in plain view across from the St. Anthony's Hospital in St. Petersburg. This pair, although giving it all to flatten the curve, they did it in a little too of close proximity to the trespassing sign, and Ms. Tucker pled guilty to both counts of trespassing and exposure of sexual organs. So Ms. Maria Tucker and Albert Singletary, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the week. And I think this is the first time we really had a tie because they both qualified. Congratulations, you two. Send us your name and address, and we will send you a Crime Talk mug because you have earned the prize to say that you were the dumb criminal contestant of the week. You deserve it. I know. Don't be shy. Don't be the humble one. Contact us. Maybe we'll even put you on the podcast and you can explain why you're so stupid. That's all we have for you today. We've said this before and we mean it immensely. We here at Crime Talk have had success beyond our wildest dreams. We had no idea where this would go when we started. And as we do this show, we have nearly 85,000 subscribers. Who would have thought that that could happen? Certainly not this little little street lawyer here in Denver, Colorado. But thank you, thank you, thank you. At 85, let's have a big celebration. Tomorrow, March 21st at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, we are going to go live. But we're going to do something different. We are going to go live on Facebook. Have your questions. I'll have the answers, at least the best that I can. I'll see you there. Hit the link below. Make sure you're signed up and see you tomorrow, 10 a.m., March 21st, Mountain Time for live Crime Talk with Scott Reich. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. Have a great day.